The psalm this morning is Psalm 119, 105 through 112. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep my righteous judgments. I am affected very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of thy mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we are so thankful for the Advent season, so thankful for the birth of your Son, the life of your Son, and the continuance guidance of that Holy Spirit that dwells within all believers. Father, we are thankful for this congregation of believers here. We are thankful for the gifts that they have that you've given them. We are thankful for the grace that you've imputed into their heart. We are thankful for the faith that they know who their Lord and their Savior is. We are thankful that we are sealed until the day of redemption. We are thankful that your life produced sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. We are thankful that as the bride of Christ, We can look up to you in any situation, in any circumstance, and pray and ask for help. Not just for ourselves, but for all that are in need of a Savior and for the bride of Christ, who have a warfare against the flesh, the world, and the devil that is a continuous battle. We understand that the victory has been won through the death of the cross and the resurrection of your Son. This season of Advent is especially important as everyone turns and recognizes the Christ child. And we also recognize the enemy of the Christ child because it is evident in what they do and say. It is also evident in the Christian what they do and say because it has been given of God. The fruit is evident. The traditions are evident. The peace that passeth understanding is evident. There are many people at Christmas time that maybe it is not a season of happiness. Maybe they lost a loved one. Maybe there's a situation where it just brings grief. And we ask that you would help them through this time, where they're not exactly thinking of the birth of Christ, but they're thinking of the death of a loved one. Be with them today and throughout the season, and give them the comfort and the joy and the peace in the Holy Ghost that you have. Father, we thank you for this year and this past year that you've taught us through that Holy Spirit, guided and directed us in a way that we are so blessed. Father, we ask that you would be in the forefront of our minds, direct the hearts, so that we can be examples and ambassadors for you, the hand and feet of Christ in the world. Give us the ability to fight and to stand in the word of the truth, your holy scriptures. And Father, we are so thankful to be together at this time where we can worship you. Father, your word is true, and we ask that you would just give us the ability to discern it today and bring you glory through it. And we thank you, Father, for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue. May the grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father, and that Holy Spirit that guides and directs us daily on this hour and day of worship. Amen. The text today that was chosen was the Gospel of John, verses 1 to 18. But the subject matter is more like light and darkness. And to get some of the beginnings of that, we may have to look at other texts, but we'll briefly do that. Basically, darkness and light, and what's the difference, and kind of how it appeared to the Magi in the Christmas season. So if we take our Bibles and turn to John 1:18, but I'll be starting basically in Isaiah, a few verses in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, just to get an understanding of what the light is, basically, and the difference between light and darkness. It is kind of important to recognize those things. Obviously, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I mean, that's John 1. But in Isaiah chapter 9, in the second verse, it says, in the second verse, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and the men rejoice in the day divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. And this shall be burning with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this verse here, a child is born, they're referring to the New Testament. And basically, the light of Christ coming. And if you look at a chapter before that, the verse at the end of the 8th chapter, it says, and they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Why are we driven to darkness? Well, the light is not in us. The influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil is stronger than the influence of the Word of God, the Bride of Christ. Because we are at a position in life where we are comfortable, like we mentioned in Bible study this morning, where basically the person of the world, the person that is the carnal individual, the person that does not believe, seems to, and we've all had this question or thought in our mind, why do they have it so good? Like, they don't believe. No, they don't recognize where they're at. And if they did, and the light of Christ entered, they would change. Being comfortable is not necessarily a position of the Christian. It's better to be uncomfortable with God leading you than comfortable in the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that was part of the subject this morning, and that Neil led in Bible study, which was good. So the law and to the testimony, basically, If you look at the 139th Psalm that Chase read. I mean the 139th, sorry. It says in the 11th verse and 12th verse, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yet the darkness hideth not from thee, but the light, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. This is coming from a person that is a believer. The light and the darkness are the same. How is that possible? Because the light pushes away the darkness. And because we're in light, because we have the light of Christ, we believe in God the Father sending his only Son to die and pay for our sins. And he did this because he knew that was the only way. There wasn't plan A and plan B, there was only plan A. It had to happen this way. Only Christ could live the perfect life and fulfill the law. Only Christ could die and be risen again. Only Christ could be our Lord and Savior. Only Christ is the one we look to and serve and look up to and believe in. Only through Christ can we receive salvation. Only through Christ can we make it to heaven. Only through Christ do we walk in the path of righteousness. Only through Christ do we receive fruit. Only through Christ are we given the ability to be gracious. Only through Christ are we given the ability to love. Only through Christ are we able to love our enemies. Only through Christ are we able to actually look at somebody that is totally against us, our ideology and our thinking. And we can look to them with the heart of Christ and say, I will sincerely pray for you that God would apprehend you and change you. The God of the Bible. That's only through Christ. Only through Christ do we not do something harmful to a person that is against the Word of God. Physically. We stop and we take a step back. What's the difference? The difference is we have the light of Christ in us. We can step back. We can see afar off. If I do this thing that my flesh is wanting to do, which is aggressive, is not, and it's not godly. If I do this thing, am I the hands and feet of Christ? Am I a representative, or am I turning the other cheek? And am I actually saying, you know, this is not the way God would want me to behave. We look afar off because before we act in a way that we shouldn't act, we look afar off. If I do this thing, what's the ramifications of that? So it actually stops you in your tracks. And when you really think about it, you're saying, if I do this thing, what is influencing you to do that? To stop. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells inside. So you go to the opposite view. Somebody that does not have the Holy Spirit does not have the trigger to step back and say, I'm going to pound this guy because I disagree with him. Or I'm going to do something evil to this. They don't have that. They just act. And there are times when Christians act that way also. And they feel bad about it because it wasn't the right position. There is a time to fight. And that time is when the Word of God is being abused. When the Word of God is not being preached according to Scripture. Whenever that happens, we have to stand. And that light of Christ will be able to give us the ability to do it in a godly way. Not perfectly, but it'll direct us accordingly. And we will make mistakes. We will do it wrong. However, God is still in charge because he's your Lord and Savior. And he's the author and finisher of your faith. So we have here, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Through trials, you've probably had this situation as Christians where somebody says to you, I don't know how you're dealing with this situation. There's only one answer, Christ. That's it. That's the situation. Whatever you go through, a trial, a difficulty, in marriage or in life, a death, how do you deal through, how are you dealing through this? You seem to be different than the world. I'm not. I just have Christ. That's directing me and influencing me. And I can see this as light. There's a reason why this happened. I can learn from this. I'm not happy about maybe the situation or the timing of it. But I understand the light because that's what the Holy Spirit does. It gives you an understanding. Maybe not at the moment of the trial, maybe years later, but it will happen. And in Psalm 18:28-29, it says, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. So God lights the candle. In Psalm 112, verse 4. It says, unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. Notice it's very specific. Unto the upright. Who are the upright? The ones that have had the imputation of the righteousness of Christ on Easter Sunday. When God the Father allowed his Son to die and be resurrected again, and you were imputed with the life of Christ. So when Christ sees you, where God the Father sees you, he sees the work of the cross. You are perfectly righteous saints in his eyes. Although we don't see ourselves as that way, that's how he sees us, because we believe in the work of the cross. So when it says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness, he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Speaking of Christ here too. God will be there. Unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. So when you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a dark time, when you're going through a time when you're doing more mourning than being joyful, there's light in the darkness. And eventually the light will push the darkness away and you'll see the joy of the Lord again. But through this trial, it's a time where you're reflecting. And it's a time at the same time where you're growing. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ closer and closer. Conforming to the image of him who loves you and who laid down his life for you. John, the same chapter. Same book. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, how does that work? I sin daily. How do I not walk in darkness? Because the darkness has been taken care of by the work of the cross, if it's sin. If it's a trial in life, the darkness seems like light because it's light affliction. But shall have the light of life. If we look at Ephesians 5, 8 to 14. For you are sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light of the light in the Lord. So this is part of regeneration. Walk as children of the light. You were sometimes in darkness. The old man was ruling over the heart of the individual. You were being influenced by the world, the flesh, and the devil, more so than you were being influenced by the bride of Christ, the church, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So you have the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace. There's so many things, love, that we have because of the work of the cross and because of Jesus coming and being born from a virgin. So let's look at this book, this chapter in John. And I'll read it, but I'll read it and stop and pause and reflect on what it's saying. I really appreciate it. Actually, Viv's dad used to preach like that, and when Jordan preached his sermon the last time, I appreciated that frame of preaching was just read a verse and add to it, or read a verse and skip over it because maybe you don't have understanding on it. It's a really good way of just letting things come as they go. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is equal to God, if you're in the math. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what does that mean? Scripture wasn't written in the beginning. I believe Scripture was spoken into existence in the beginning of time, and it was then written by the authors, and the 66 books were written. But in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, Jesus. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And God, in God is life, and His life is Christ, who is the light. In Him was life, and life was the light of man. This is an interesting fourth verse. In Him was life, and life was the light of man. We have the light of Christ in us. And this is life to Christ. This is life to God. When the life of the believer has the light of Christ in him, God is joyful as a father. Jesus is joyful. The Holy Spirit is joyful. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's a time in our lives when we didn't actually fully understand, nor do we still fully understand, the grasp or the work of the cross. You cannot exhaust all the meanings out of it. It's one of those things that what He did for us and is doing for us and has done is immeasurable. So, and the light shineth in darkness, darkness comprehended it. It doesn't understand. When you were not understanding God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what they all entail as the Trinity, and we still don't understand it fully. I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying that being somebody that was transformed out of darkness, meaning a person that was feeding his flesh with the desires of the world, not concerned about basically anything of what anybody thought. There was a drastic change in me when God apprehended me. So I didn't understand before I was born again what happened, what I did. But once you're born again, regenerated, and being predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, once that process happens, that sanctification process, what is sanctification? You're set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and brought into his kingdom, the kingdom of light, for his good pleasure, so that he can use you, and you are the hands and feet of Christ on earth while you're here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist, the forerunner to Christ. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, John said. He said, I am not the Christ, he is. I can't even tie his shoes. This is Christ he's speaking of. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why did they receive him not? They were steeped in their own thoughts and religion. They were steeped in their own self-righteousness. They were steeped in that, more so than somebody that didn't appear to be very much. If you looked at Christ, he wasn't much. As far as looks go, as far as his appearance goes, he didn't look very good. There was nothing attractive about him. He wasn't a typical Pharisee or Sadducee or scribe. Why would we look up to him? He came unto his own received him not, but many has received him. Who received him? The ones that had the light, the ones that had the influence, the ones that were broken, lowly, and contrite in heart. And they really had no option because they were broken, lowly, and contrite. What do I do? They look up and they say, I need help. My situation is in dire. I need help. And they turn. And if they were brought in the Christian faith, raised in a Christian home, it would be very evident of them through that teaching. Their grandparents and their great-grandparents were Christian. They were teaching them. They would be teaching them those things. They would know it. It would come just like that. If they weren't raised that way, it wouldn't come so quick. They would say, something's changed. Something's different in me. Something, I just don't get it. But I'm not really attracted to the things I used to do with my friends, but I've changed. I'm more so being influenced by this word, the still small voice. So what is the broken, lowly, and contrite person doing? They're recognizing their sinfulness. They're recognizing that without their Savior, they're lost. They're recognizing that I just can't do it without him. I really can't. So what happens? By the grace of God, favor of God, by the hearing of the word, faith is given as a gift. So this is part of the gift of Christ, the gift of the Christ child. The light, that the star that they saw. Prophecies that are happening, that have been predicted in the Old Testament that are coming true. But as many as received them, he gave them power to be the sons of God, daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were not born of which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. What's the will of the flesh? I gotta pick up my own bootstraps. I gotta handle this myself. I gotta take care of this myself. That's the will of the flesh. I'm gonna handle this my way. That has to be cut away. I can't do this myself without Christ. Anything you do, any step you take, any decision you make, it's being influenced by the world, the flesh, or the devil, or it's being influenced by the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's not a decision that you make that's not being influenced either way. So not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What does it mean to have power to become sons of God? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted for him to be for righteousness. Galatians 3:6. We have the imputed righteousness of Christ because of the work of the cross. And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus came to the world, he was made flesh. He was made flesh. You think about that. Where did he come from? A much better place than this. Much higher, elevated place. He came from glory. He came from where God dwells and the Holy Spirit dwells. He gave all that up to live and to die for us. In the 17th chapter of John, it says, a beautiful picture. This is before his crucifixion. This is life eternal. The third verse, it says, this is life eternal, or this is what life equals, that they might know thee, the only true God. Notice what it says there. This is eternal life, that you do you know the only true God and Jesus Christ that you have sent. I have glorified you, God, on this earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before with thee before the world was. He gave up a lot. A lot. To come here. So what does the flesh want? What's recognition? What's respect? It wants to be known as doing good. Jesus gave up everything to come here. So when our thoughts, our flesh comes to us and says, you don't deserve that. You deserve respect. You're a father. Your kids should respect you. And they definitely should. There's no doubt about that. What did Christ give up to come here? Everything. So the mindset is sometimes when we look at things, we see things a little cloudy. We see things that we expect to get something when we actually deserve nothing. And by Christ coming here and being born of a virgin, we get everything. get our sins forgiven, taken away as far as the east is from the west. We get a life where we can appreciate the bride of Christ, our family, brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a church that can preach the truth of the word. We can have fellowship with them. We can grow with them in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have baptisms. We have weddings and we have funerals. Baptism of an infant or the baptism of an adult. What is that the responsibility of? You know, it's funny how we baptize babies, but we don't look at the accountability factor. If I asked whoever the oldest person is in here, if I asked them, I said, how many baptisms have you been to? They said, well, probably 50. Do you know their names? No. Do you know what your responsibility is for those 50 babies as a person that was a representative of that baptism? Well, I'm kind of supposed to look out for them, make sure they're walking in the faith, influencing their life while they're living, while the opportunity arises. If they go astray in any way, because I was part of that baptism, I'm supposed to go up to them and say, hey, I noticed that you've been struggling a little bit. So you could ask the next question. Have you done that with all 50? The answer is no, you haven't. But that's the responsibility. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? But God takes care of those children. He plants people in their lives so they make the right choices. If the person is wavering and going out in the world and being influenced by the world of flesh and the devil, and they have not been born again, they need us even more. Especially if they've come from a Christian home and they know. We need to be on them. We're accountable for that. It's important that we have soldiers for the cross, fighting against the enemy of warfare. And at the same time, we have to understand that it is finished. How do you find the balance there? Mentioned in the Bible, there's no such thing as passive faith. It's active. When you see something wrong, you react. If somebody, some woman gets slapped in the face on the street, you turn the other cheek, that's not the way to be. Especially if I'm talking to the men in the room. You get involved. That's just, you're the protector. And we've all failed there. We've stepped back or we've made an excuse. It's none of my business. I shouldn't get involved in this. We need to get involved. We need to be strong in the faith. So we're sons of God. We have power. We are born not of blood, but nor the will of the flesh. It's the influence of the will of God that molds you and makes you. The glory of God was huge in Jesus' eyes. So what does Jesus promise in the same 17th chapter to those of John? Through this whole thing, Jesus is very, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. And he was on his way to the cross. And he says, in one verse, he says, all the ones you've given me, I've done everything with them except for the son of perdition, which is Judas. It says that earlier in the 17th chapter. And he's never said anything, but he exercises his will in the 24th to the 26th. This is Jesus' will. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, this is future Christians, for the next thousand generations, or whenever he comes again. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath known thee, but I have known thee, and these believers in the future have known that thou hast sent me. You know that Jesus was sent for you. And I have declared unto them thy name. They know you, God the Father. And I will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me, the love that you have for me, Father, may be in them and I in them. It's may be in them and I. He's praying for this. It's called the high priestly prayer. It's a promise and a prayer. In the first chapter again, John bear witness of him. John the Baptist bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So why did Jesus come? For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The favor of God, the truth of the word, came by Jesus Christ. At Christmas time, we reflect the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ. It's just not a one-day thing. We reflect all of it. Because if you don't reflect all of it, you're just going to reflect the birth. It's all of it. So how do you take that internally? The birth of Christ inside you. When you were changed, reborn, born from above, taken out of darkness and brought into light. What's the promise? He's going to take you home. Why? Is it because of something you've done? No, it's because of something that was implanted into you. You were lowly, broken, and contrite, so grace could enter, the favor of God. By the hearing of the word, by being involved in a local church, by being involved in a local church, by being part of the bride of Christ, we have faith. And he is authoring and finishing your faith. What does that mean? You are growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ because of what the potter is doing. So we can't take credit. We can't boast. It's all his work. We are his masterpiece. He's presenting the bride. The Father is presenting the bride to the bridegroom in heaven. Without spot, without blemish, pure and holy because of the work of the cross. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord lift up his face upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give thee peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 40.